everything. You're the reason I see. I love you. I love you. I love you. Amen. God bless you. Good morning. It's good to see everyone who can make it. Pray God's been just being good to you. If he hasn't been good to you, let me know. I need to know what that's like. Amen. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful. Lord, that the word doesn't even come close, Lord, to expressing what it means to be able to come here in freedom, just the natural freedom of religion we have to come in and worship as our heart dictates to us, but Lord, even more than that, the freedom of worshiping you in spirit and truth, Lord, and to see the work that you're doing in our lives and changing us, Lord, to be like you, Father, is the greatest thing a human being could have happen, Lord Jesus. So we're so grateful. And Lord, we just want to go forward from where we're at now, not to rest, not to take it easy, but keep pressing the battle, Lord, even as it gets harder and we're getting closer to the end. And Lord, all hell is against us, Father, but if you are for us, and who can withstand us, Lord Jesus? And so we want to stand with you. We want to care, Lord. We want to just surrender and release all ourselves to you, Lord, that you can have your preeminence, the fullness in our lives, Lord, the way you determine, the way you desire, Lord. So I ask you to anoint me for this service, anoint each person to hear. Lord, let the faith rise up to meet the need of the hour. We ask this in your name. Amen. Revelations 3, I'm going to read a couple of verses there, and then we're going to read out of Hebrews 12 also. I think this is the last message I have on the uncomfortable Christ. I think this is the last one. I don't know for sure, but it looks like it's something else has come on my heart to speak about the next time I would speak. I think Brother Jerry will be back Thursday preaching. I think he's coming back earlier than that, but I think he'll be here Thursday preaching in for the foreseeable future. I don't know of any other trips or anything he has planned, so hopefully that's the way it works out. Revelations 3. In verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, you know, brother and sister, the way that happens is by what you're doing right now. Going to church and let the word of God do this for you. Plus all the other trials and tribulations he has you go through in your daily life. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. If you want to turn in Hebrews, book of Hebrews, to the 12th chapter. And we're going to read another very familiar scripture there. Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that exercise therein, thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down on the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You may be seated. Excuse me. So now he said, in order not to be lukewarm here in this last age, I need you to go through the fire. I need to go through this so you get the eye salve. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. So when you find out where you're wrong, repent about it and keep going. Then he also, in Hebrews, he says, now no chastening is pleasant, nothing. It's never fun to be chastened. If a chastening is real and it's going to be effective, you're going to find out it's not any fun to go through it. But if it's grievous, but afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So if you are exercised in the chastening, which means that you accept the chastening, is somebody missing? There's something wrong. Wayne's missing. This seems weird. Anyway, if you will accept the chastening, be exercised by it, then it brings about peace, righteousness, which brings peace. You want to be peaceful? Be righteous. Isn't that something? See, for us who know what we know, who have walked how we've walked, For us to be peaceful, be at peace, you must be living a righteous life. There's people who it doesn't even mean anything to them. Righteousness means nothing. They find peace in other ways. But for you and I, peace comes through righteousness. I'm not meaning that you live in a high holiness standard, although that is important, because if you're out here doing these things wrong, you know that you got your tore up in your spirit. It's not very peaceful. But this righteousness we're talking about, the peaceful fruit of righteousness, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look, what made Abraham righteous? God spoke to him and he believed it. And Abraham had faith. He believed what God said, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. So the righteousness we get comes from just believing God, and we walk in that peace that comes from knowing we're believers, seeing what God's doing. Because believing God does not mean, well, I believe that's true. It means I see what you're doing, I accept it, I believe it. And when you bring a chastening, I walk in that too, because that's going to bring more righteousness. Now, here's the thing I want to ask you. How precious is your peace? How precious is it to be peaceful? How amazing is it to us? How dear do we hold this when we see God in us doing this work, and it gives us such peace in the midst of the trial, in the midst of what's going on, and yet we can see this inside of us and we can say, oh, what is happening? It's beyond words. How do you describe when you see Jesus Christ living in flesh, in your flesh? Now, because see, if all I do is I see it in someone else's, and I say, man, look at that, I want that. That's not very peaceful. If all I can see it in someone else's life is, hey, boy, I really want what they have. I see such a life. I see a solidness, a foundation, a peace, something that just stays anchored. And I say, I want that. Well, praise God, you can have it. So you don't have to just desire it. You don't have to just thirst. You can have it. But once you have it, and once you will walk into that, how precious do we hold that, this peace we have? Or are we willing to just surrender it for the next trap devil sets for you? For the next time Satan comes along and entices you with something. Some spirit sits there and entices you and say, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you accept this thought? And it always, always starts with a thought. And you sometimes make your decision that quick. Someone says something and bam, before you even can take a conscious thought about it, you just react, because that's what you're trained yourself to do. Or maybe your mom trained you to do that. But this is the way you react. And what you must do is recognize that when that thought comes, if it's that quick, you need to be that much quicker. And you surrender that to God. I do not want to do that anymore. Because here's what happens. I go to church, have a wonderful time. All the spirits are driven back. I'm walking in peace. And I'm on the way home. And someone cuts me off in traffic. And right away, I'm willing to surrender my peace. Just to be like, ah, you stupid. Who taught you to drive? That's the way it works. Now, I typically don't do that. But sometimes that's the way it can work. I mean, I don't react to that extent. I mean, I still get frustrated with people who, crazy people, man. but that's the way it is. Satan will have a trap set for you, and he knows how to get us. And so we get to church, and we get everything driven back, all those spirits driven back, and everything is fine. And by that afternoon, or by Monday morning or sometime, we have already surrendered our peace. To have some sense of control. That's what it is about. And we know why we want to be in control of things. Because like Brother David said, we're afraid. It's fear. And we are so afraid to just let God have complete control that when things come up, we got to grab that and take that control back. And when you take that control back from God, you lose your peace just like that. Your peace is gone. Because you are no longer walking in righteousness, which is the faith of Abraham. And that's simple. It's just that simple. And Satan gets us running on that treadmill over and over and over. And just as soon as Satan has set that trap, boom, we go for it again. And then we got to wait for Sunday to get our peace back. It's ridiculous. That is not what God wants for you. You do not have to walk in that trap. You don't have to run on that treadmill. You can walk in peace. All you had to do is start loving that God inside you more than you love this old flesh. And recognize, for goodness sakes, you are not in control. You are not in control. That's terrifying. Join the human race. That's why half the people are on drugs. The other half are dying of heart attacks. Everyone's scared to death. It's true. We're not in control. And then when you look around and see everything falling apart, it really brings fear to people. It's terrifying. How precious is our peace? Let me ask you this. You're sitting here today, and some of you are thinking, listen to what I'm preaching. Some of you are thinking about that. Some of you are thinking over here. Someone has this attitude about something, that attitude about something. Let me ask you something. Right now, as we're standing here, what if the pillar of fire was all of a sudden just became visible right there to your natural eye? You could see the pillar of fire right there. And then you're like, oh my goodness. What would it change your thoughts? What would you be thinking about? How would it change your attitude? Let me say it this way. If it would, you need to fix that. Because you might not see it, and I don't see that pillar of fire, but it's here. If it's not, we need to go find where it's at. I have never seen the pillar of fire with my natural eye. I don't mean nothing. I know it's here. You know why? Because I brought it with me. And some of you brought it with you. Isn't that amazing? Here we are with the very pillar of fire. Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, visible in the pillar of fire is when he's visible, what we could see him right now. But it's the very Holy Spirit, God himself here with us this morning, speaking to his presence is here to do whatever we have need of. And we try to find our peace in some other, our mind wandering here and fantasizing about this or talking about this or thinking this or getting mad about this or torable about this. And we just surrendering our peace. Just, I don't want that peace. I want this peace where I'm in control. You're not. That's why he brings chastening. Ain't that good? Oh, praise God. Brother Paul, get this stick and start beating a few of us. Come on, we need this. We need this chastening. Why? Because chastening gets your head back on straight, gets your mind right again, gets you focused on the right thing. You're thinking about this, you had that attitude. We need to get your mind back focused on one thing in your life. There's one main thing. It's Christ. Is he living in you or is he not? Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Is Christ living in us or is he not? Let me read something out of Colossians for us. Colossians 1 and verse 24 says this. Paul speaking, he said, who now rejoice in my suffering for you? Whew. That's not what I'm preaching about, but Paul said, I rejoice in my suffering for you. Rejoicing. How many times do we rejoice in suffering? Boy, got quiet, didn't it? It's hard to do, folks, but that's what walking in faith is. Look. The chastening is grievous. It's not fun. Pain is not fun. We don't enjoy pain. Unless you got some kind of mental problem. But it is good for you. But you know what? I do not go up and beat my head on a wall. Bam, bam, bam. Boy, that hurts. It's sure good for me. No, it's not. You're stupid, Phil. Pain for the sake of pain is not doing you any good. But when the pain brings a change in behavior, brings a change in thought, brings a change in life, then it's good for you. That's what chastening does. That's what spanking is for, to change behavior. Now, let me ask you this. When you were 7 years old and you did something wrong, your dad came to you and said, Phil, take this switch and give yourself a spanking. Really? Okay. Thanks, Dad. Pat, pat, pat. Oh, that hurt. That's not chastening, because you can control it. See, all these people, you know, the people, they would used to beat themselves, they whip themselves, flagellate themselves to inflict this pain in order to control their flesh and all these ways of making themselves righteous. And we do the same thing with all our little sacrifices to make ourselves righteous. And we inflict this pain. We do this kind of stuff. We walk around, you know, all humble and religious and all that. And we're inflicting this chastening on ourselves. Stop it. Just stop it. You know what? You control that. You can't chase in yourself because you control your own pain. Oh, I can go along. You know, when I run, I can go way longer because I know that any time when it gets too much, I can stop. But what if someone else said, you're going to run this amount and you're going to run this amount of time and you stop and I'm going to beat the tar out of you? All of a sudden, it's a lot different. Because I'm going to say, you know, what if I can't keep going? See, that fear pops up there. So, what is the result of this chasing, this, if you accept this peace, what does this look like? You say, well, it's peace. Yes, it is, but what do we mean by this peace? We're going to read here in Colossians and then talk about this. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you will fill up that which is behind the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, what's he saying? He said, now I have a job to do here. I have to fill up the what's left behind, the affliction of Christ in my flesh for the body's sake. So I'm going to suffer for your sake, is what the minister was saying. He said, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. So there is a mystery that's been hid for ages and generations, all the way down through time, basically. There's been a mystery hidden. He said, I need to help. The church needs to fulfill this mystery. But now is made manifest to his saints. Now this is Paul. There is part of it made manifest at that time. There's a part of that made manifest in this time, part of this mystery that only this day, this bride for today can fulfill. There's a part of that mystery that only you and I can fulfill. No other age could fulfill it. This is getting exciting if you ask me. You've been chosen to fulfill this part of the mystery, and it's the last part of the mystery for the Gentiles. Isn't that exciting? Oh my, how do we sit there and think, well, yeah, that's good, Phil. Brother and sister, we are going to fulfill this book that was written thousands of years ago, some of it thousands and thousands of years, and there's parts of it is written about you particularly, specifically. And you've been given the privilege, if you will walk in faith, you are going to fulfill this mystery. What is that mystery? Brother Phil, I want that mystery. Yeah, I do too. You know what it is? He said, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. He's going to make known the riches of this mystery among us. What is it? He said, Christ in you. The hope of glory. All he ever wanted was to be in you. All the way down through all creation. All the Old Testament, all the New Testament, it all came down that he wants to indwell you. It's that simple. All he ever asked you to do was walk in faith. Just believe. We've offered him thousands and thousands of other denominational approaches. We've offered all our holiness, all our believing, all our other stuff. And all he had said, all I want you to do is walk in faith. That's why he said, Abraham, the father of the faith, walk into the faith. What I tell you, you believe, and that's all I require. And you'll have peace beyond your ability to understand. Peace. That's all he's asking for. That's all he's asking for. Just believe. That's all. It's that simple. I remember years ago, David and I would be talking, and I was trying as hard as I could be a Christian, and David was running as hard as he could away from it. And we would have this guy, David said this different times over the years, he'd say this. He said, you know what? You want to be a Christian, I don't want nothing to do with it. He said, I never wanted to be it. You want to be it. You've always wanted to be it. I don't want to be it. And I would think, yeah, at least I'm better off than you. Boy, I was wrong. We were in the same boat. The only difference was he at least recognized he was wrong. I was more deceived. I was in a worse place because we were both being controlled by demons. Mine was a religious demon. His was just a worldly demon. But we're both being deceived. We're both lost and going to hell. But I could look at myself, well, at least I live a good life. A lot of good that's going to do me sitting in the bottom of hell. Ain't that true? See how deceptive that is? See that that's two spirits are so close, and what makes you think you're right, it makes it look so good, and all God was telling me, Phil, if you would just believe, instead of trying to be a good Catholic, you'd be fine. I'm not trying to be a Catholic. Well, you're acting like one. Isn't it true? You should just believe Christ in you. Not Christ in me and look how good I'm living or look how much I know. Thank God we both got set free, my brother David and I. Oh, Spirit's enticing us to choose our comfort, to choose our peace. My. Now, I got to tell you something. I got a quote, some quotes here from Christ the Mystery, and this just makes me so happy. I can't always stand it. Listen close now. I'm reading Brother Branham's quote. He said, I want you not to fail to get this. All right, so this is pretty important, right? The prophet said, do not fail to get this. Listen close now. No other church, no other sign, no other fellowship, no other government, no other testimony, no other creed, no other denomination is accepted outside of this. God accepts nothing else but that. Christ in you, the hope and glory, the only thing that God recognizes. The only thing God recognizes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He doesn't look at you how good you're living. He don't look at you how bad you're living. He don't look at you what you believe or what you don't believe. What your doctrine is, where you go to church, who your pastor is, anything else. He looks at you and says, is Christ in you or is he not? That's the only thing, that's the mystery that you are required to solve this day and age. This is what we expose, that is Christ in us, and to such an extent greater than any other group of people has ever had it. Because this group of people gets a body change. Ain't that amazing? No other one has that. There's been some of that, you know, a few, you know, Elijah and Enoch and Moses, different ones, whatever. But for us, just normal, regular people, not prophets and all these holy people, we're just average, normal people. And yet we get to fulfill the last thing is a rapture. That's what is there. That's what the chastening is for. Is that worth it? Are you willing to go in a rapture or do you still want to be in control? And all he's asking for is, will you believe what I'm telling you? I got to sit down. I just want to sit here and think about that. All he's asking me when I hear the voice of God is believe it. No, it can't be that simple. No. I'm sorry. There's no way. It's got to be something else to it. Surely it means I had to go to church at least 90% of the time. I had to pay my tithe 100% of the time. I need to make sure I do. No. But can you explain to me about the seven thunders? I can't either. Can you explain what Brother Branham meant when he said? I can't either. I don't care. No other church. He's not looking at your church membership. Now, you got to go to a church where the truth is being preached or you're not going to have Christ in you. It's important the way you go, but it's all about getting Christ in you. Because if you're sitting here and Christ isn't being preached into you, go someplace else where he is. Because what good does it do to sit in a good church if you're not getting Christ in you? No other sign. Oh, but I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I had this sensation. I had that. Don't matter. No other fellowship. Boy, that goes deep. All the rest of the churches think we're crazy, Brother Phil. Good for them. Well, my family can't stand me anymore. Good for them. That's not what he's looking for. No other government. How do you run the church, Brother Jerry? Don't worry about it. Let him do it. You take care of yourself. No other testimony. Yeah, but God dealt me this way, and God dealt with me this way, and God dealt with me this way, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and all the people have all these spiritual signs and wonders going on in their life. It doesn't matter. No other creed. How do you believe the message? How do you believe this? How do you believe it? Don't matter. No denomination. Nothing is accepted outside of this. Get Christ in you. God will accept you. And all the rest of the stuff he'll take care of. We get it all backwards. We line ourselves up here. Now, God, surely you're going to accept me now. He said, no, that's not it. God accepts nothing else but that, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the only thing God recognizes. No fellowship, no church, no creed, no denomination, nothing. Everything else is dead. It's not, well, you can do that too. It's dead. It's fragments that has to be cut off, pruned off away from the thing that Christ might live with preeminence is in you. Everything else, all your religion has to be cut off. That's what the chastening. That's what the chasing is. It's cutting everything off that gets between you and Christ. Like I've said many times, this doesn't mean you sit in a monastery like in a cell, like a monk, and you sit there and just, all I have is my Bible and a little bit of bread and water, and I'm going to be like Christ. You're not being like Christ. You've got your own religion. You go out and you enjoy the life God gave you. You go out and do the things God put on your heart to do. You work your job. You take care of your family. You do all these things. But all of that is peripheral. The main focus in your life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you don't produce that yourself. It just happens. It just happens. It just lives out of you if you're born again. And then the chastening comes and cuts off all those things that keep getting in the way. You ever get to the point, well, I finally got there, Brother Phil. I don't need any more chastening. Everything's cut away. You better hope you're about 2 seconds from the body change. Because if you're not, you ain't there yet. Not referring back. I got one in here saying, it's my organization. It's my church. I go to a message church. Big deal. So does the devil. That's got to be cut off. My mother will tell me I'm a holy roller. That's got to be cut off. I know my husband wants to wear those shorts. That's got to be cut off. It's got to be cut off and pruned till there's just you and Christ alone. So when you see that happening in your life, when you see God doing these things in your life, changing you, when you come and you come to church and you get chastened, and you recognize, it's God pruning all this stuff off so it's just you and Christ? That should just make us so happy. It should. Brother Jim said something last Sunday. I walked out, he shook his hand. He said, you know, I realized something today. You're just trying to get us to heaven. What a statement of faith. Think about it. That's all we want. Walk outside this afternoon. Walk around. Get in the woods or something. Look around you. Everything's dying. It's cold. It's wet. It's rainy. It's not that pleasant. It's just telling you that, you know what? You're here for a short season. What are you going to do? You have peace. I ain't got long here, Lord. Where am I going to go? You know, is that something that's anchored in there that I have peace? I look at death and I know it's speaking of the death of everything. What are you going to do? You don't have that peace. That's something that's just anchored. What a mighty God. Let's keep reading. Brother Branham says this, by the living presence of the living Christ by the living word. He said, oh, living Christ, living presence, living word. Well, yeah, I saw that in Brother Branham. Don't do you any good. Well, I see that in Brother Jerry. Don't do you any good. I see that in Sister So-and-so. Don't do you any good. Except just to say, hey, you need this too. You have to have it. The living presence, living Christ, Christ, the living word. How do you know it's in there? Because the word that is spoken for this day is living through you. It's producing itself. By his own personal vindication, proves his church. He proves who you are. Oh my. You excuse me if I get excited. He proves who you are. Stop arguing with the devil. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am born again. I know I am, ain't I? Quit it. God proves who you are. He vindicates it. Just let go and let him do his work. His personal vindication proves his church, not members. You going to this church doesn't make you part of the bride. It's Christ in you. It's not members. He never done it the way in Moses. He never done it what days of anybody else at the end of the world when it comes to a place where there's destruction. And the days of Lot, it wasn't membership. It was personal vindication. God in flesh, personal vindication. Personal. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you personal. If the rest of the church don't see it, you still do. But what about my family? But what about this person? All that's got to be cut away. If, like I said recently, if every one of you get up and walk out of the church right now and said, Phil, we are sick of hearing you preach. Put your ear to the window. You'll hear me finish this message because this is what he got me to do. This is what he asked me to do. He asked you to receive it. Are you? Are you accepting the chastening? Because if you're not, it says you're not born again, folks. That's what the Bible says. If you're not accepting the chastening, you're not born again. My, that's hard. Do you want to go to heaven? Now, just because you sit there and accept it doesn't mean you're born again, but if you will keep accepting it, you will get born again. It's that simple. It's you and God personally. Everything else is cut off. If sister sees that, Brother Paul, I can't stand you anymore. I don't love you. I want you out of here. Paul says, I'm breaking my heart, but I'm still going on with Christ. She said, I was just kidding, Paul. Relax. It's just you and Christ. It's not you and your family. It's not you and the pastor. It's not you and your boss or you and money or anything else. It's not you and your religion. It's just you and Christ. That's why people are always looking for something else. They want to believe in angels, and they want to believe in this, and they want to have this supernatural and that supernatural. But what about Christ, the living word, the living Christ, living presence, personally vindicated in you? And when you see that, how in the world are you supposed to stay down and beat down and discouraged and whatever? You can't stay discouraged. Goodness sakes. What are you discouraged about? I know Christ, the very creator of heaven and earth, is living in me, but I'm still discouraged. Come on! You know what happened? You allowed that little trick to go and trap you, and you took some other comfort for a second. Your comfort in your downness. I just feel in my little self-pity, I feel down, I have a little despair. I just like, woe is me kind of stuff. That's a comfort, folks. What a miserable comfort it is. But you've been trained to go there. Remember, think of it. People born in his spirit in a day like this and this great denominational age we live. We live in a great denominational age. Look around the message. You'll see it all over. The living God takes his living word and vindicates it personally. The living God takes the living word and vindicates it personally. This means that you must be the living word for this day. You cannot recognize it in Brother Branham say, well, I believe. That's not it. It's got to be today. The life that's in the word. The germ that's in the seed. The spoken words, the original seed. Let there be light, there is light. The same voice of God speaking today. There's a life in the word. He said, the word is a seed that a sower went forth to sow. That's what we're doing right now. And the life is Christ in the word personally to you. He's saying the same thing over and over. Mary said, don't fail to get this. It's the life in the word personally to you. We had a great service, Brother Phil. Everyone was jumping and shouting. The Holy Spirit was filled. Everyone was anointed. People were crying. That's wonderful. But what about you? Just because the whole church is anointed doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. What about you? Where are your thoughts? Where is your motive? What's your motive for living? What is your objective when you get up in the morning? What's your life all about? What are you trying to accomplish? The life is Christ in the Word, personally to you, vindicating something that you cannot do. You cannot do this. Have you seen Him do this in your life, things that you can't do? You overcome something that you can't do? Have you been a slave to something for years and years, and one day you wake up and you realize that I am not a slave anymore? I am free! I'm not a slave anymore. I'm free. Why? I know Christ. Christ is the Lord living through me. He's not a sensation. He's not a historical God that died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and that's what I'm referring to. I'm referring to that being living in me, doing things that I can't do. Proving Himself that it's not you, it's Him. Has He done that? Has He proved to you that this ain't you, Phil? It's me. Have He proved it? Has He spoken to you? Has He done things in your life that have proven to you that it's not you doing this? It's not you trying to do this. A sheep don't go out and try to grow wool. He just grows wool. It's His nature. You plant a seed in good ground, a good seed in good ground, it has to grow. You keep in the right atmosphere, it has to grow. It can't help it. If Christ is in you, it has to manifest Christ. It can't help it. So quit trying to prove something. Quit trying to argue. Recognize. Be honest with yourself. Look in the Word and say, is this me or is it not? God, You prove it. You know why we don't do that? We're afraid what we'll find out. Because what if I'm not? Well, brother and sister, if you don't hear anything else, please hear this. If you're not, it's a good thing to know about it now. It's a good thing to find out now because you still can get it right. There is still time for you. Ain't that amazing? You talk about the mercy of God is just. And then it says, proving Itself that it's not you, it's Him, and you become a love slave to Him to be a bride. Now that's where we get into rapturing faith. Where you are so in love with God that you just become a slave to Him and you don't do anything He doesn't want you to do. Jesus said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me. You and I have the same testimony. Oh, Brother Phil, if I said that, I feel like such a hypocrite. Feel like a hypocrite. Just confess what's true. But it's not true. Well, are you going to walk in faith or are you going to walk in what you see? Because He said that's what we get. Well, I'm still not a slave. Well, then just keep walking. You will be one. What are you going to do? Look at the finished product. I'm not telling you to be a hypocrite. I'm talking to walk in faith. When God speaks to you and says you're healed, are you going to say, well, I don't see it. I'm not going to confess being healed until I see it happen. Don't worry. You won't see it happen. And if you don't start confessing what the Word says about you, you'll never see it happen. And everyone says, well, you say you do nothing, Phil, except the Father shows you. Well, I saw you all get mad and yell at that person, show a bad attitude. Yeah. That's under the blood. Never happened. You believe that? If you don't believe it, why in the world are you repenting for? See how Satan takes these things and just twists them around so he gets us walking all tore up in the mind. Well, I don't know. Well, maybe it is. When you confess to God, it's under the blood. He doesn't even remember it anymore. Brother Branham calls that creative power of God, that He doesn't remember it anymore. Isn't that amazing? And if you're walking in faith and you want more of Christ, you're not going to be a hypocrite. You're just going to be a sinner saved by grace. There's a big difference. It's a big difference. So what are you worried about? This is making me so happy I can't stand it. Oh. You become a love slave to Him. You say, well, I still have all these problems. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. You get a rapture out of it. His presence in the individual with a personal vindication of himself, expressing himself. The living word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you, a vindication of the great revelation of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's just saying it over and over and over. This is Christ the mystery. He just goes, he wants to nail it down. He wants to get it to you. He wants you to believe it. He wants you to understand this is what matters. The rest of it is window dressing. You either get this or you miss the rapture. But you get the tribulation period if that's what you want. Look, only in an individual, never in a group. An individual, not a group. His identification is with an individual. You get that? He identifies you individually. It's not, well, let me see if Sister Brenda has the same thing I have. Let's see if Brother Will and I, we got the same thing going on. No, it's you as an individual. And then when you get that, you have eyes to see and you can look at it and you recognize the same thing in brothers and sisters. Let me say something that might bother someone. I don't care. I mean, I don't want to bother people. But listen, two people, let's say they're Brother Paul and Sister Sue sitting here. Let's say one of them is born again, one of them is not. They both believe they are. You will come to, if you're not there, you will come to a point where that person is born again will recognize that other person isn't. But the person who isn't won't ever get to that point because they can't tell the difference. That's not just me speaking. That's what the prophet said. You'll know. You can tell there's something about it because that person's deceived does not know they're deceived. That's what deceived is. But when you see Christ being formed, it's just something, and it's hard. A lot of times I can't put my finger on something specific, but I look at that person and I say, I see Christ in that person. Sometimes it's something they say, it's an attitude, it's an action or something. And sometimes I see the best people in the world, so good people. And I look at them and say, they ain't got it. Message believers. There's just a difference. It's the most pitiful thing. And usually, they're sitting under a minister that doesn't have it either. His identification with an individual. You get that? Not with the Methodist, not with the Baptist, not with the Presbyterian, not the Lutheran, not the Pentecostal, not the message believers, but an individual. I read something several years ago where someone said, when all are together under the same, in the same room, listening to the same tape, we're all in heavenly places because we're all believing the same thing. What a liar. That's a lie. You're not sitting in heavenly places just because you're listening to the same tape. All believing it's true. Thousands of people are following that ministry and they're going to miss the rapture because they're being lied to. And you know who it is too. It's an individual. He vindicates it in an individual. It's not a group. But when you get those individuals together, now you got something to be excited about. Sir, because that pillar of fire connects with that pillar of fire, connects with that pillar of fire. And pretty soon you have a roaring fire going on. Now, how are you going to stop that? Then anything is possible. Anything is possible. What do you need then? Ask what you will and I will do it. That's what he said. He said, I'll leave one, I'll take one, and I'll leave one. I'll separate them. That's where it hurts. We don't want to be separated. We want everyone to come together. We want all our families, our friends, everyone to say, we want them all saved. That's not a bad thing. But recognize your walk with Christ as an individual, whether everyone else is saved or not. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one, leave one. Two in the bed. I'll take one, leave one. Sounds like a husband and wife going to be separated, doesn't it? It's not a group. It's a personal vindication of a pregnated child of God filled with the Holy Ghost. Pregnated child of God. There's life growing in them. Oh, man. So surrendered to God, they don't care about anything else. Oh. then when the word is preached that hurts your feelings, do you care about anything else? When the chastening comes and says, Sister Cindy, you need to get over your bad attitude. You think you are talking like that. You care about something else. Is this not as simple as it can get? Is he not making it simple so no one can be confused? You can't be deceived, folks. It's here. If you're deceived, you're willfully deceived. You're willfully taking a different attitude. You're taking a different word. You're taking a different comfort than this. Why would you do that? I'll tell you why, because you don't believe. That's all. That's it. They don't care about anything else. And the Holy Spirit giving its life, pulsating through them, through him, showing the personal vindication of the word, expressing itself to the people and to the world. And the world hates it. Now, not the world out there, the message world hates it. Because it shows up that the darkness and the light don't get along. Pulsating through him, showing the personal vindication of the word itself, expressing itself to the people and to the world. And there's Christ walking among us, living among us, speaking among us, making us uncomfortable. And that's why we don't like it, because it's just not comfortable to our old flesh. He says this, how can the world blindly walk by something like that? How can the world see it and walk by blindly? Just the same as the Catholics walked by St. Patrick, didn't recognize him until after he was dead. Same thing they've done to St. Martin, didn't recognize it. Same thing they've done in all ages. Same thing they've done to Joan of Arc. Catholic Church burned her for a witch because she was spiritual. It goes right by them. They don't recognize it till it's gone. It only picks up the predestinated seed. What happens, brother and sister? After it's gone, then people look back and say, oh, that was God. They look back and say, oh, that was Christ in that person. That was Christ in that person. They look back at Brother Branham and say, oh, what a mighty prophet. Thousands of people, you can look back and see him there. They say, well, that's good. No, it's not. Because it doesn't do you a bit of good to recognize God in a prophet if you don't recognize him now in human flesh again. It's got to be now. It's not just good enough to see him what he did yesterday. You have to recognize what he is doing now. Has to be. That's recognizing Christ. We want to get people to Christ. That is Christ. What are you trying to find? You think if he walked down here with nail scars and a long robe on or something, oh, there's Christ. No, it's not. Christ is here now in flesh, living himself out through his people. That's Christ. Get people to Christ. Let them see him in you. And when you get to the place where nothing else matters, you can't help but manifest Christ. You can't help it because all the weeds are pulled out of the garden and your growth, your plant is just there. It's just putting out limbs, putting out fruit. And everyone says, wow, look at that person. And some person says, I can't stand that person. Why? Because there's darkness and they love darkness more than light. My. I'm running out of time. It goes right by them. They don't recognize it till it's gone. It only picks up the predestinated seed that God predestinated before the foundation of the earth. Same thing comes through the days of Noah, through the days of Moses, the days of Elijah, all the prophets, days of Jesus, on down to this very hour. Pregnated person with the seed of God, the word in there manifesting itself, so surrendered to the will of God that the word and the word alone manifests itself, and this person is a prisoner. To an individual, the word alone manifests himself. That's what we have to do. Now, brother and sister, when you're going about your life and you see, I need that, and you keep looking at your flesh, recognize this, brother and sister. As long as you're in the flesh, you're still going to have a sticky nature. You're still going to make mistakes. Don't you dare let Satan kick you around with that and say, well, if that was you, you wouldn't be doing this, you wouldn't be doing that. Shut up, devil. Let me tell you what the word says about me. It says, I am the living word for this day, and God is proving it. And if he doesn't, then you're right. If he doesn't prove that I'm who I say I am, you're right, devil. Be honest. But he said I could have it. So if I don't have it now, I will. And you never will. You never will. I will. And one day I'm going to watch you be exposed for all the weak little jerk you are. I guess he's a jerk. I will live forever, eternally, eternal life. I'll never walk out one day and see the leaves changing color. I'll never go out and see snow coming down or ice on things and be cold and shivering. I'll never see any sign of no death. I'll never think of someone who's lost. I'll never think of someone who's suffering. I'll never have depression or anxiety or fear. What will you give exchange for this? What would you give in exchange for eternal life?
Brother Phil, I'm trying. I just don't know if it's me or not.
Okay. If that's all you care about, then you don't care. He didn't ask you for what your opinion was. He didn't ask for your excuses. He didn't ask for what you've done. Believest thou this?
Well, I'm trying. Here we go again. There's no try, there's just do.
My car is a silver Ford Focus. Do you believe that? Try. Or try to believe that. I don't see you trying. You believe it? You're not trying. Apparently not. Do you see how ridiculous it is to say I'm trying? God speaks to you, and you're trying to believe him? You either believe him or you don't. How simple can it get? Now, the battle is there. Satan will come and tell you, oh, that's not true. It's not for you. You're not going to be healed. You're not going to be saved. And you say, well, God told me that. Okay, I believe it. Okay. But Satan told me this. He's supposed to tell you that. That's his job. His job is to get you to quit believing. Your job is to believe. See, it's your battle is to believe. That's the battle. Your battle is not, I'm trying to be a Christian. God proves if you are or not. He said, not say my church. My church has nothing to do with it. It's an individual, one person. Now listen to this. How important is this? Remember, he's talking about it's you, an individual. Christ in you, the individual, the hope of glory, right? This is what he says. All hell is against this teaching. All hell's against this truth, but it is the truth. Now why? Why is all hell against this teaching? Why has Satan spent thousands of years and countless hours trying to get us deceived into thinking there's something else besides the simplicity of Christ in you, the hope of glory? Why is all hell against it? Because that was the original thing back in the beginning. It's to get them to love him more than they love God. It's you and Christ united together with nothing. Your love is to him first. That's all it's about. And when he can get you doing something else, he can put some other seed, his own seed, his own word into there, and he's got you hybrid. And you love him more than you love Jesus Christ. That's what your religion does for you. It makes you a fornicator. It makes you accepting the seed of Satan. Isn't that amazing? That simple thing. And how many people, they get up to that one thing. Like a priest, God says, obey, be obey. And they get to that one thing, they can't give it up. And they stand there. And they won't go forward because they still love that one little something they love more than they love Christ. And that's where they're fornicating. They're taking Satan's seed, his idea, his word, and saying, yeah, but I can't just go that far. It takes one word, one thing thou desirest. Thou lackest, I should say. One thing thou lackest. You know what you need to do? You don't have to. I recommend it. When you're in prayer, ask God, what is the one thing I lack? What is still holding me back? What is there? Is there something there? Let me know what it is now. And you can expose it to you. You're going to say, oh my goodness. Not that. What will you give in exchange? Jesus never said, Peter, you and John and all the rest of the people, you got the revelation. Now the whole church is saved. No. You don't save your family. Brother Jerry doesn't save you. You don't save the church. You can't save your kids. It's to them personally. They have to get the revelation themselves. It was to him personally. I say unto thee, not to them, to thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. The word Peter means a stone. Stone means a confessed one, separated one. Upon a certain stone, upon a certain thing, it called out. The church called out, upon this stone, upon this revelation. Flesh and blood never revealed it to you, but on this revelation, I'll build my church in them, and all the gates of hell will not be able to withstand it. Not one hair of your head shall perish. You are mine. I'll raise you up at the last day. Give unto him eternal life. Raise him up at the last day. There it is, the revelation. Not them, but to him, an individual. Not a group, an individual. All hell's against it. How many times has Brother Branham said this over and over and over to get the point across? It's not your family. It's not you and your church. It's not you and your pastor. It's you, the individual. You must know Christ himself yourself. Oh, if we would just cut everything away. Let everything else be cut away. Let the word come and just that. Look, why has the things been preached here over the last years and years about family and about all these different things been preached? It's to cut all that away and recognize that if your whole family rejects you, you're still going to go alone. You go alone. But here's the great thing. Here's the wonderful thing. You're born again, and then someone in your natural family is born again, and you look at them and say, you really are my brother. You really are my son. You really are my sister, whatever, because we're spiritual family. How much greater is that than just natural family? Because here's the reality. If Brother Todd is not born again, or Sister Brenda's not born again, one and the other isn't, they were never family to begin with. And right now, that can tear you up. I promise you. You get a body change, it will never bother you again. You're not going to be in sorrow because your kids or your wife or your husband didn't make it. You say, Brother Phil, that is so cold. What are you going to do? Argue with God about it. God, this ain't fair. This is not the way I want it to be. Okay, Cain. And don't make it easy. You love your family. We all love my. I look at my family and somebody, and if they don't, something don't change, they're not going to make it. At least not in the rapture. But what am I going to do? Miss it because of them? Come on, people. How much do you love Jesus Christ? Is he everything to you or is he not? You cannot have idols between you and him. He says this, his mystery is only revealed to his beloved bride. That's the only one could see it. See, that's the thing. If you're not predestinated, you can't see it anyways. That's not fair. Yes, it is too fair. What if I came to you, Brother Paul, and said, you know what, Brother Paul? I'm going to pick your wife for you. Long time ago, before you got married. He said, well, I love Sister Susie. I said, I don't care. I'm going to get someone else. Now, how is Brother Paul going to feel? Well, that ain't fair. Why? He don't get to choose his own wife. So Jesus can't choose his own wife? I personally want that choice for myself, who I get married to. I want it to be God choosing it, not someone else. Oh, he said, well, did Isaiah say of you, you hypocrites, you snake in the grass? You go out here and say, oh, the great holy prophets, we marked their tombs, we polished them. He said, you're the ones that put them in there. Did he say it? How many people polished Brother Branham's tomb, so to speak? Oh, we had the prophet. I was just reading something a minute ago. You can go to the Voice of God, and there's over 100 pictures of the prophet, some of which you've never seen before. Okay. Is that going to keep me out of the rapture? There's nothing wrong with looking at the prophet's pictures. I enjoyed it. I enjoy it. I like it. I like hearing about the prophet. You know what? That does not make me holy. You can get encouraging emails. You can do all this kind of stuff. And they're doing all these things. But where's the word being preached? Where is Christ being manifest? They have to point to 50 years ago. Skip down here just to save time. May I say this? His spirit calls unto you. This is Brother Branham saying. He said, whited walls, you hypocrites, calling yourself message believers. I added that. Calling yourself anything when you take the intellectual conception of man and leave the word go instead of become pregnant with the seed of God, the word in you, you've taken every other hybrid. So what's he saying? You're calling yourself all this, but you're taking the intellectual conception of man. How do you know? Because it's not producing Christ. It's producing miracles. It's producing supernatural signs and wonders. But where is Christ? No wonder she sits as a whore. She commits spiritual fornication, teaching the people things of man and not things of God. But he said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. So we can look around and we see people sitting as spiritual whores, whole churches. They've denominated, they've organized under this conception or that conception, this doctrine or that doctrine. And sometimes, well, they're good people, just don't say anything about it. I remember I was preaching one time, I said something about a minister who was off the word, and I was exposing it. And this other minister came up to me and said, you shouldn't talk about that man like that. He's sincere. He might not see the way things we see it, but he's still sincere. He's a good brother. How would you like to send her to that pastor? I'm not going to say anything about that evil spirit because he's anointing a good brother. Think about it. But you're being mean. I'm trying to help people get to heaven. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. He said, don't be deceived by that nice old, what did Brother Branham call the priest? Kind old priest. We got message full of kind old priests. They don't want to say anything to hurt someone's feelings because it's not politically correct. Plus, it makes them unpopular. He said, this mystery is revealed only as he promised to his bride. Hell is against this truth of the revelation of this mystery. The bride is standing on it. That's her stand. Be honest with yourself. Is that your stand? Is this where you're standing? That you know it's just you and him, a personal vindication in your life. Then he says something I'm finishing up here, folks. Listen to this. He says all this. He says all this about it's just you, an individual in Christ. Nothing else between. It's just you and him. And he says, why do you hunger, church? Why do you thirst? Are you hungry this morning? I'm not talking spiritual, natural, of course. I'm talking spiritual. Are you spiritually hungry? Is there something inside you that's longing for something that has never been satisfied? Or if it's been satisfied, you still want more of it? I hope so. Because if you're sitting here, oh, no, I'm pretty satisfied, you're in a bad place. Some people can sit and listen to what I'm preaching and be so bored. But you're not bored. What's wrong with you? What, are you different? You better believe you're different. You're a peculiar people. You're a holy priesthood. You've been called out. This is what God says about you. Isn't that exciting? You're a bunch of oddballs. I can't say anything nicer about a group of people. Why do you hunger? What are you thirsting for? You say, well, I don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm not born again. Praise God. You just admitting that and confessing that and acknowledging that is the first step. Why do you thirst? Listen to what he said. It's the Father trying to reveal this hidden secret to you. Oh, I want to grab someone and shake him and say, do you recognize what he just said? He said, your Father, God himself, is trying to reveal this to you. He don't want it just to be a doctrine up here. He wants it to sink down and become a reality right down in here where it becomes your very life. Your Father trying to reveal this to you. He said, well, why doesn't he then? Well, he's trying. Listen to what Brother Branham says. You let so many things get it out of you. See, what happens is the Word of God speaks, the voice of God. You hear the voice of God, and it's a still small voice, or however it comes, it drops in there and it's sitting in there in that ground. But before you get home, Satan's going to assault you with every doubt and fear and argument he can to get that thing ripped out of there before it can take root. It's trying to get down through all that doubt to strike the word in there. And when that word comes to this word, it comes to life, and then you're sealed. You can't get out. Sorry. You have to go in the rapture whether you want to or not at that point. But before that seed can really take root and ground, and see, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, this is where that belief is coming, it's starting, but then you got to keep walking in that faith until God says, now I'm accepting you, now you're born again. And I'm going to tell you this, it's not going to come the way you think it will. So quit looking for some sort of evidence or something that you know that you're born again, because that's not the way God's going to give it to you. Then listen to the things he says, get it out of you, because this will kind of blow my mind. He says, you let so many things get it out of you. You let your job, you let your wife, you let your husband, you let your children, you let the cares of the world, you let some pastor, you let somebody else get that out of you when you know way down in your heart you're thirsting. Hungry. Listen, you need a job, you need a wife, you need a husband, you need children, the cares of the world, the things you have to take care of, you need a pastor. These are all good, legitimate things that you need. So how do you let them get it out of you? Because you look for your comfort there instead of Christ. That's the problem. When we're hungry and thirsting, we get on the phone instead of in prayer. When we're hungry and thirsting, we go out and we eat something naturally hungry because they're trying to satisfy the spiritual hunger. When we're doing this, we get some kind of entertainment. We put on the football game. Or we go do this. We go shopping. Whatever it is, our comfort is. We get a book. We watch a movie. And we do all these other things. We're trying to satisfy this something inside that's thirsting. And it covers it over and it weakens it down. And we may take some drugs. We may start drinking. We might do all these things. We might go have sex or do whatever it is that you're trying to find some kind of comfort. And something inside of you is saying, yeah, but I'm still in here. I'm still thirsty. And if that seed is in there, brother and sister, sooner or later it will come to fruition. And here's the thing, the harder you go, the longer you go seeking these other ways to satisfy that, the harder it's going to be. Brother David said he can either come hard or you can come harder. But you're going to come. That is so amazing. Because I would have given up on me a long time ago. Fine, Phil, if that's when you'll be, just go. You know, a little song that says, he was there all the time, waiting patiently, mine, the Creator. Standing patiently, waiting for you to get rid of all your other idols and all that misery. Said, I'm still here. Sit out of church. I come back. He said, I'm still here. Are you ready? How can you not love someone who loves you that much? It's God trying to reveal it to you, the revelation. The last day is here. It's time, brother and sister, for us to manifest this revelation, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we let so many things try to be our peace instead of the righteousness of faith. We let so many other things try to take that place because that's what we believe. We still have unbelief. Are you sure God's going to do this? If I really surrender, are you sure God's going to do this? Well, if he doesn't, he's a liar. Who wants to serve a liar? He's not a liar, brother and sister. How do I surrender? How do I get to? How do I just, first of all, calm down? You ever get frustrated? I tell you, you want to feel foolish? I'm trying to quit. You want to feel foolish? Get frustrated with God sometime. I've done it. I prayed and prayed and, you know, God, why don't you give me the Holy Ghost? What am I supposed to do? And I'm standing thinking, what are you doing? You're frustrated with God as if he's not holding up his end, as if he's doing something wrong. Do you really think God's doing something wrong? No. What are you frustrated about? Get frustrated. Get someone frustrated with yourself because you're still trying all you can. Woo. Shut up, boy. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. How do you get angry with God? Because things didn't work out the way you wanted. He's still waiting in line for you. He's waiting. How long will you take to get there? Brother Branham's praying. This is my last quote. Brother Branham's praying. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, send forth thy spirit tonight, thy creating spirit. Creating spirit. Thy great presence to drive back the darkness of the enemy. And may all the people have a creative power in their heart tonight. The power of faith. Oh, Creator, grant this to us. Oh, Father, I know you're more willing to see it than I am. God is more willing to save you than you are willing to be saved. Then how do you get frustrated with God? God, I'm trying so hard. I really want to be saved. He wants to save you more than you want to be saved. But you have made a way that man must believe. There's no other way. Oh God, open every channel tonight of men's heart that they could believe. That's what it takes. You have creative power. What's this word? This term? They have creative power in their heart tonight, the power of faith. Right now, you have faith to create an atmosphere where that seed can come down there and be birthed. Whatever that seed is. I'm not talking about just being born again. If you need deliverance, if you need healing, if you need whatever it is you need, that seed can come down. If you create a power, a creative atmosphere of faith. Faith is creative. You are a creator. My next couple messages, whenever I preach again, I believe it's going to be on that you're a creator, folks. It creates an atmosphere where you can believe. So you don't have an excuse. Well, I just can't believe. Yes, you can if you create an atmosphere. You know how you do it? Your attitude. Again, just the simplicity of the truth. Your attitude. What will you give in exchange for your soul? What is worth it to you? When you walk outside and you see everything dying and dead and the trees all stark and gray and the clouds in the sky and the rain and the leaves and everything and you look around and say, everything just dead and dreary. Makes me rejoice. I used to hate it this time of the year. I love it because I'm not afraid of death anymore. That's what it was. Fear of dying. Isn't that amazing? I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to. I don't have a death wish. But if it's time to go, boy, I'm ready to go. You all can stay here and hash it out. I want to go home. Why? because the living Word, the living presence, the living God, I see Him. I see Him in me, and I see Him in you. And it's the end time. It's time to go home. Amen? Stand. Right now, brother and sister, in the atmosphere that is here, I believe the preaching of the word has driven back the doubts and fears. I believe it's driven back the spirits of unbelief. I believe you can have what you need right now, whatever it is. You'll believe. You'll let that seed of faith drop in there. Let it start grow. God can give it to you in an instant. He might give it to you a year from now. What does it matter? You'll give it when you need it. But if you walk out of here still not convinced, you're going to get worse. You'll either walk out of here stronger than you came in or weaker than you came in. If you walk out of here still clinging to some shreds of doubt, I don't know if it's really me, I don't know really whatever, then brother and sister, you're just going to get weaker. It's going to get worse. So if God spoke to you today, whatever that word was He spoke to you, you need to believe that and confess that and walk in that faith. That doesn't mean you walk around saying, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. God doesn't care what you're saying like that. He knows your heart. You believe down in here. And if you plant that seed and you go about your business and you keep it in an atmosphere of faith, it will come up. It will produce what's in that seed. Amen. Amen. It's up to you, folks. It's your choice. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come and speak to us. We're so thankful, Father, for your presence, for your word, for your encouragement, Lord. If you didn't encourage anyone else, you encouraged me, Lord, and I so appreciate that. Lord, to see your word happening among us, to see it growing, to see it changing lives, Lord, it's exactly what you promised it would do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Minister to needs. Lord, you know each heart. Each one in here has serious needs. We all have things that we need you to do in our lives, Father. Lord, help us to walk in faith to see this happen. And not looking for some great extravagant something or other, but just the simplicity of the word becoming flesh. And it's done in such a secret way. It's done in such a way, Lord, that sometimes we don't even recognize it right away. And a lot of times other people don't recognize it at all, but we do. And you know it's there. Oh, we're so thankful, Father. Bless your people. Keep us safe. Lord, I pray you bless us. We can come back Thursday night, and Brother Jerry should be here to minister to us, Lord. I just pray you bless him, Lord. Bring him here safely. Just watch over us, Lord. We ask this in your name. One more thing to say. If somebody tells you the seventh seal isn't open, you need to tell them this. If the seventh seal isn't open, then what's happening to me?
Amen.
I am walking, living proof that the seventh seal is open.
Amen.
Because only through the opening of the seventh seal can this what he preached happen. I'm ready to start another sermon. Brother and sister, this is the opening of the seal. And what happened? He said, when the seventh seal is open, there is silence in heavens for about the space of half an hour. I really am going to preach another sermon. Brother and sister, why? Because what was happening on earth was so precious and so amazing that they didn't make a sound so that they wouldn't give it away so Satan couldn't get in there and stop it from happening. And what is happening is exactly what was preached this morning. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, only can be produced by the opening of the seventh seal. Shh, that's a secret. Man, I'm going to sit down because God bless you. See you Thursday. Go ahead, brother.